So, good afternoon, friends. Nice to see you. Is the sound okay? Okay. I was reflecting in one of the group meetings this morning about, I just shared briefly about the monastery in Burma, where this teacher, Sayadaw Tejaniya, teaches, and sort of a little bit the flavor of the environment there and the way that meditation center, monastery, the way he kind of holds the kind of rules and schedule. It's a little bit like what we've started to enter into here on this retreat, the schedule kind of disappearing on you a little bit less. I don't know if that's good or bad. Sometimes it feels great, other times not sure. What do we do? And at that monastery, because there are a lot of places, also different flavors, styles of some retreat centers that other people might visit, that monastery would potentially be coming from an environment where there is a very strong, schedule like we did yesterday and this morning. And people arrive there and they look at the yogis kind of walking around doing their own things. And so often you might hear kind of this observation, or it's like, this is not a serious retreat center. The yogis here are just goofing around. They're not actually practicing. And it may be that as you walk around here, in this sort of environment that's now potentially a little bit more open, a little bit more relaxed, is practice continuing? What does it feel like to continue to develop the continuity of practice? I know for me, like in the beginning, as we get kind of going, it almost felt like unless I outwardly demonstrated to everyone like that I was a good, and this is, I would like sit there and I'd force myself to sit in an absolutely torturous upright posture so that anyone walking by could just sort of at least project on me some sort of, wow, amazing yogi. So inward, of course, just chaos and struggle and striving. But outwardly, that's what I really cared about. I really want you to approve of me. Sometimes the teacher, Tejaniya, would come into the hall, and I got so good at hearing his steps, like which ones were Sayadaw's steps, oh, he's coming in. And so I'd sit there. Particularly if I had started to slouch there, I'd just feel myself going like upright. So then I started playing with it, like maybe if I'm just going to let myself slouch as he walks by and just see my mind go crazy with like, oh, now he thinks I'm a terrible yogi, but wow, look at that. I can see all that. And then sometimes really hunched over as if I'd fallen asleep. I knew I was getting somewhere in my practice once I started playing with this sort of, what's going on? What's happening in my mind? So, this is really, when we explore what meditation really is, like it really is this invitation for us. How is it that we want to live? Do we want to live with these qualities, right, of awareness? And maybe today you feel like, I don't want to live with awareness. That's fine. But actually beneath that, like, do we appreciate this wakeful state? What benefit does it bring to us, right, as we practice, as we cultivate? And that's really, in some ways, the heart of the Dharma is this kind of explanation of, or it's like the manual of life. Here are these various ways of being that can cause suffering to oneself, to others, and to both, And there are these other ways of being, right, that brings about a sense of ease, clarity, right, for oneself, for others, and for both. Even though it's like, yes, there is this Dharma path includes the potential to truly liberate our heart and minds from all of the afflictive states. In essence, we could say it is about this possibility of life, right? The possibility of this very fleeting time, right, that we all have. And sometimes I like to really just remember when I see other people, like, we have this short time together. And how precious it is to do some of that in awareness together, right, and being on retreat together. Right, what a beautiful thing to get to experience. So cultivating the mind, the heart, is that fun? Is it easy? Cultivating moments of awareness. And there's a moment, one of the kind of standout moments in my mind of the time that I was with Utejaniya. It was almost like a transmission moment where he was walking by and I was there, I think probably just talking to someone, because you can talk at that monastery. Not here, but there, it's more open. And I was talking and he just walked by and just kind of offered a casual question, "Are you aware?" And I'm aware. And then he just turned back again as he walked away. Sure. So that little sure, I have appreciated, because so often I feel like I'm a little bit aware, and this sort of checking, sure, is the awareness there? What is being known? What is it? Am I feeling the body? Am I knowing my feelings? Do I feel tense or relaxed? So that light, playful, sure, right, is in so many ways like the way, for me, the continuity of practice becomes available, right? And I've thought about this a lot, like when I've made practice feel like a chore, or it feels dry, right, maybe intellectual, it doesn't go, right? When awareness has this light, like intimate invitation to be with our own experience, right, with what's arising naturally, letting the nature of the mind and body be as it is, but also then how do we be with that so it feels, right, something that we can actually attend to, we can learn from. And that's that kind of that light attitude. So I want to just speak for a little bit about what he sometimes refers to, Sadhu Utejaniya refers to, as the meditating mind. So the meditating mind is not some like separate compartment. It's really just kind of like what it is that we would check in our own practice, right, when we want to, in a way, check in and see, how are we practicing? What is the mind doing when we ask, right? How is the awareness? Or even, how do I practice right now? What do I do? And what is the mind doing when we say it's meditating? What is it that you do, right, when your mind says it's meditating? And so I went to my teacher so often, I kept kind of going to him, and he would say, you know, observe this. I was like, I observed that, okay, I observed that, now what? I observed that, now what? And I kept asking, now what? So I think because of yogis like me and you and all of us, he kind of started coming up with these shorthand encouragements where it's like, if you just do this, it's not everything, but just this could be enough. When we check the meditating mind, he said, it could be interesting to see, is right view there? Is right view there? and is awareness present. And we've spoken a little bit about right view. So just a reminder that right view really reminds us that whatever is happening in our experience, whatever is happening in our experience, is okay. It's arising out of some conditions. It's natural, it's okay. It may be unpleasant, it may be difficult at times, it may be the thinking mind. Anyone have any thoughts today? A lot of thoughts, right? Particularly when we land on retreat, the mind is zooming around. It's okay. This is the nature of this moment. It's like this. It's like this. Mark was using that phrase, such a beautiful phrase. It's like this. It's like, it doesn't have to be any different. It's like this. So that is a way of thinking about right view. It reminds us that what is happening, what our experience is something that we can be aware of. We can learn from what's happening. Right? But so often what's happening is something that then triggers our not liking, our reaction, our aversion, right? The identification process. Right? And what we get identified with, then we start to feel some kind of preference, battling, liking, pushing, resisting. So the reminder, the possibility of remembering whatever we're experiencing is some natural arising, arising out of conditions, thoughts leading to emotions, leading to moods, to mind states, body then feeling a certain way. At other times, the body experience might trigger some thoughts about the body. Right? Pains in the body can trigger thoughts that then affect our emotions, our moods. So all of this cause and effect process, seeing that deepens our wisdom, right, of right view. Right? This is what's arising. Sensations in the body, sounds, seeing, all of these processes can support another moment of awareness, rather than them being distractions, problems. Right view really kind of turns us back towards experience as being this rich, always happening possibility to grow awareness and wisdom. Right? So right view, is there right view in the mind? Whatever is being experienced is something that we can be aware of. It's some process. We can be intimate with it. We can let it in. Is this okay to be aware of? So those kinds of questions, right, kind of get triggered. And then just checking about awareness. Is awareness present? So knowing that we can then cultivate another moment of knowing. Very light. Is awareness present? What is being known? Some kind of sure. Do I know? So meditating mind, another aspect about the meditating mind. And this takes a little bit of time to become familiar with. And again, one of the groups we talked about this a little bit in the small group sharing is this attitude of the mind. And we've spoken a little bit about the attitude of the mind. Again, I was sharing that sometimes Utejani would ask, you'd ask a lot, you know, particularly early on in my practice, you'd ask me, you know, what is your attitude? What's the attitude of your mind? And I remember, like, I kept sort of answering, at least inside, I was like, I don't have an attitude. Like, I don't have an attitude. What's my attitude? You know, sort of like this reaction. It's like, I don't have an attitude. I have an attitude? So the attitude really is, again, it's like the invitation to get curious about when we experience anything. It could be a breath, simple breath, a sensation. How is it that it's being experienced? Do we experience it through wanting? Through being identified with it? My breath, I am breathing? Or breathing being known? when it's something a little bit more difficult, right? The Buddha talks so frequently about it's the nature, the conditioning of our minds and hearts, that when it's something unpleasant and difficult, the mind is conditioned to resist it, to meet it with aversion. We say that's the untrained mind that we all have. Right? The habitual mind meets that which is unpleasant with aversion, and that's the attitude. And you might just remember right now, if you don't experience anything unpleasant in this moment, maybe there was something today, right? Some moment that was a little bit difficult or unpleasant. Did you like it? Did you enjoy it? Probably not. So maybe usually some kind of resistance. So this is where we would say to check the attitude, to get curious about what is the nature of liking, of aversion, aversion pushing away, resistance. What do those energies feel like? So then it's like our exploration starts to grow. First, we might have a moment of being aware in the present moment, remembering that what is arising is a natural process, something that can support us, right, to soften the heart, be aware, open to what's here. We can recognize what's being known, very lightly, just what's being known, and then over time exploring, what is the relationship to this experience? Where is the resistance? Right, where is the holding on, if there is anything? And so then the attitude, just to kind of just give a little bit of that kind of understanding of how to be with that, an attitude of aversion or greed, liking, not liking, judging, the Buddha described those in some categories as being hindrances, but they are hindrances to our practice when those energies are in the meditating mind. So if we are trying to observe some experience, like a mood, with aversion, with an agenda, right? That's where we feel some sort of struggle, right? We want it to change, we're trying to hold on, get back to something peaceful. When we step back from that, and then we can check and look and see, is there any wanting? Where is the resistance? Now what was in the meditating mind becomes something that we can be aware of. And what we're aware of, we're no longer as identified with. It becomes a Dhamma, meaning it becomes another reality, something to learn from. Right, so we want to, in a way, start to get curious about, particularly when we know we're in some sort of struggle. Some moment of struggle, something is happening. Because this is a lawful teaching, the laws of the mind are revealing themselves when we're struggling. What is there? What is the mind resisting? Can I open to that? Right, so this is where, as we bring in sometimes a little bit of that, just a little bit of wisdom seed reminds us what is happening is natural, part of the nature of this moment that's arising. How I meet it is my practice. Can I be aware of this? Is it okay to be with something that feels unpleasant and to learn about the mind that it, right, that pushes against, tries to get rid of, tries to stop, or tries to hold on, right? Grasping, liking, all of those energies. So this is the learning process. We don't have to do a lot. It's a little bit like you walk into a room, lights are off. We don't have to do anything, really, to start walk in. You just sit down and the eyes will adjust to the, right, to that, like walk out at night, let's say. Slowly the eyes adjust, right? You can start to see more. We start to see more. It's the same way with the experience, right, that we're having. As we arrive, we just let things settle. We start to see, experience more of the mind-body process and start to see these attitudes, these judgments, these ideas that we have. Okay, so oftentimes we share reflections in the Dharma, and then after it's all shared, we can sort of say, now forget all of that. No need to hold on to it. It's really just dropping in some ideas into the mind, because we can make the practice really more complicated than we need to. This is really just information. When it becomes sort of the right moment, we bring it out and we explore it. But the actual practice can be very simple. Okay. So let's go ahead and we'll continue just practicing together. Offer a few reminders or encouragements as we settle in. And in a way, it's like, again, you know, if you aren't already kind of connected to your experience of being aware, what is it? What does that feel like? Maybe as there's a little bit of intention, a clear intention to notice your direct experience. Or it might be just the light recognition, right, that you're not completely lost right now. There's some sense of being present. Quality of awareness or knowing of being present. And if it's helpful to you in this moment, just a light reminder of the wisdom view, right view, that whatever is happening right now, right, that it's okay. We can allow it to happen. And just the process of this body, mind, and heart. And if we don't have to control, the mind and body, our emotions, does that invite in a sense of ease? In the same way that when there are sounds around us, it's just the lawful process when the working ear door is there. That hearing happens. We don't personally make hearing happen. Hearing consciousness arises out of conditions. In the same way, in our body, there are different experiences arising out of conditions. In the heart, mind, different feelings. And the invitation in our practice is to see if we can allow what is happening to happen. And we don't need to get so immersed in what is being known, right, that we forget to notice that the knowing is happening, some sense of being present. Knowing that this experience is and is being known. Particularly at any moments when you notice there may be some kind of struggle or tension building, it might be interesting to just explore any ways that mind might be resisting, pushing against, and knowing that these energies are also, we call them dhammas, meaning they are natural, and nothing to be worried or scared about, just getting curious. And in an open way, helpful things that happen when we check our mind and just sort of lightly feel whether we feel relaxed or tense or overwhelmed. It's helpful to know if we are kind of losing our sense of balance, the sense of inward ease. And we don't ever really need to just surrender to something that feels overwhelming and difficult, and we can't observe what's happening and in a interested, skillful way. So you want to check if you feel mind is getting more and more tense, right, tight. Just taking a moment then, recognizing that, knowing we can move our attention to something that feels more balancing. Can always move the body lightly, opening the eyes at times. So taking care of the mind that is practicing, and learning to be in the moment in a way that allows us to feel settled, easeful. Practice isn't about demanding or pushing. It's really the skillful meeting of our moment-to-moment experience. Thank you for your practice, your attention. Well, we have more life ahead of us. We actually have also some sheets that we'll put out that are series of points on the right attitude that are from Sayadaw Tejaniya, and they're just these little reminders that the first few years at his center, these were the only things that were available. And we adjusted it just slightly. Some of the words sometimes were like, don't do this, but it's not really the way he says it, don't. It's almost like, here's this all this right attitude, but don't. So they're actually meant to be this whole like invitation to feel, right? And giving us little pointers of what that might look like to explore the attitude in our practice. So those will be just on the tables outside this afternoon at some point. So just a reminder, there is, if you'd like to explore some more movement awareness practice with Sousa happening at 3:30. Yes? No? Yeah, okay. Okay. Good to be with you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.